Hello. Welcome to the Astrology Oddcast. It's me, Francesca Oddi. We are going to look at the breakdown of this week, the sun moving into Sag and the very, very intense skies today, the 21st of November. I did just have a light shining on me and I got rid of it. And I thought that was really interesting. That was annoying me. And then as soon as I got rid of it, like, how scorpionic is that? Like, I just don't want, I mean, I never do, but I don't normally end up having a fight with a lamp. In Scorpio season, there is a secrecy. There are things hidden. And my pen just exploded before we started recording the pod. And I was like, everything's a synchronicity. What does this mean? And it's about Neptune. Neptune is a very important planet. He is involved in the sky. He's been involved with the watery transits this week. So when I say watery, Cancer, Scorpio and Pisces are water signs. And we've had Sun, Mars, Ceres, Mercury or everything in Scorpio, and Neptune is in Pisces, and they've been in aspect 120 degrees. Look at a protractor, compass, whatever, 120 degrees apart. And that has made a lot of us very, very listless. Neptune takes energy away. And I very often see that people who've had chronic fatigue or similar ailments where they are without energy, it's very often a Neptune transit. Also, people falling in love madly. You know, when you've gone madly in love, like, wow, sometimes that can be a Neptune transit too. And that can be beautiful and romantic and ideal and perfect, but also can be wildly delusional. And I think this reminder that Neptune is involved in the skies at the minute, as my pen leaked all over my face, is my hands. Interesting. But what is it? What is it to have no boundaries? What is it for things to be porous, for there to be leaks, for there to be energy leaks? Where have you been leaking energy? And I did lie in bed last night thinking, God, I am so, so tired. And I thought, you know what? I wonder if this is energetic. Now, I've had a few people respond to me on Instagram, say they've upped the frequency. I mean, what does that mean? They have upped the frequencies. But they, I think, are putting everyone onto 5G. So apparently BT, unless you request otherwise, they're putting out more 5G towers. And there are implications. So throughout history, whenever the technology, whenever the environment changes, people respond, particularly sensitive people. And I was telling my friend at the weekend, I was at my mate's birthday, it's hard to not sound like a twat. I mean, I don't mind sounding like a twat, but I didn't drink. I wasn't feeling well anyway, but I don't really drink at the minute because I'm like, if I have half a drink, I'll be hammered and then I'll be really hungover and very unhappy tomorrow. So I just don't bother. And like the impact is just huge. And I've always been like that. When I was little, I think I've said this, but I can say it again. I always used to beg mum to let me have the matey bubble bath, but then I'd always get a rash, you know, and I get car sick straight away, like 5 minutes in the back of a car. And I'm like, I'm going to vom because if the environment changes, I'm sensitive to it, basically. Sensitive body, sensitive mind, blah, blah. And so people who are sensitive, feel things, respond to everything, will be impacted by changes in the environment. One suggestion. That's one suggestion. I don't know if that's true. It's kind of plausible. I don't know what it is, but I've been knackered and opting out. So I'm very curious about the astrology of now. So as we look at the sky, we've got Sun at 29 Scorpio right now. It's Tuesday evening. I wanted to be teaching tonight. I'm really sad. I'm not actually sad. I feel absolutely fine about it. I think if I'd been teaching tonight, it would have been a real push. I mean, I've got through today because I knew it would end. But it's been quite busy. But it's just so much easier to do things than reschedule them. Honestly, I know that's not what health and wellness people would say. Like, look after yourself. You got to rest. It's like, yeah, I do have to rest, but I don't want to reschedule this stuff. It's just, I just want to do it. And then, you know, I'll hope for the best. I have a few clear days over the next few days. I've got other things to do, but I can sleep. And also I'm just not running around like a bat out of hell. And I've cut out coffee because I think I was just overstressing my system. I have a coffee, then I'm hyper, then I need to run, then I need to go to yoga because otherwise I won't sleep. So my whole life becomes this kind of hamster wheel of doing things frenetically and then exercising to calm down. But I've just stopped exercising and stopped coffee and I'm living like a slob. And it feels really lazy, but also I've got loads more time and I can just feel that my body, my organs are more relaxed because they're not having to do so much work. My body doesn't like coffee. And I know that, but I'd got to the point where I was only having one a week and, you know, as a treat, and then I'd started really pushing it and it just doesn't make me well. Maybe you're the same, maybe you're not, maybe you can go for it. But here we go. Sun 29. Sarah's is currently 28, but I know she'll be at 29 as well tomorrow. So they'll both be at 29. And Mars? Let's have a look at tomorrow. Wednesday. Oh no, they'll still be at 28. How on earth? I saw something online. I guess maybe it's the Mars and Sarah's both conjunct at 28, or maybe it's the next day. Yes, it is. It's Thursday. The Mars is 29 and Sarah's is 29. So they meet on Thursday. That's very, very interesting. And Pluto is 28 all week and Neptune's 24. Now, numbers, numbers, numbers. I'll rewind. Every sign of the zodiac goes 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, all the way to 29. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 27, 28, 29. And those degrees are points. And so you have Aries, 4 degrees Aries, 29 degrees Aries, 0 degrees Taurus, all the way through to 29 degrees Taurus. And some signs are like Aries and Libra are opposite one another. And these signs are all in relationships. And if you want to learn how to read your birth chart, do get involved. Because it's there now. I'll be doing a Black Friday something. Haven't decided exactly what yet, but I'm actually going to do it on the appropriate day. I'm restraining myself, unlike the rest of the internet. I'm sure a lot of people, some people are only doing Friday as well. I know it's controversial, but look, whatever. There's more controversial things in life than Black Friday. So it focuses your mind. You know, the whole online marketing world is obsessed with it. They're obsessed. And so it does get you thinking, like, okay, what am I doing? Do, and you kind of organize your head a bit. And so when you're looking at learning how to read charts, you do read the aspects and these relationships between certain signs and certain planets. And it's really helpful in learning your own birth chart. And then in what I do here, in just reading the mundane, reading the sky, and kind of putting a story together for what's going on. And so with Pluto, Ceres, the Sun and Mars all in this very tight relationship, that's why I wanted to put this event together. So Pluto's 28 Capricorn and Ceres is 28 Scorpio. That's today. That's right now. Now Pluto and Demeter, Ceres, Pluto and Ceres, same. Demeter is Greek. Ceres is Roman. Ceres, Cereale, cereal. So she was goddess of the harvest, cereal Ceres. You can remember it that way. And she presided over the land and was super abundant. And she hung out with her beautiful maiden daughter. And then her daughter was abducted by Pluto. Pluto disguised himself as a narcissus flower and she picked it. And then he opened up the ground and swallowed her up and abducted her, held her hostage. And then Demeter was going crazy. Ceres, sorry, I will use that interchangeably just because that's what it is in my head. It's just totally interchangeable, the names. Ceres, Demeter, was going crazy trying to find her daughter. This is ad lib, shorter version. You can probably read a better. I bet Stephen Fry talks about this one in Mythos or Heroes, probably Mythos anyway, or just online. But this will do. And she couldn't find her daughter and no one was helping her. And she was goddess of the harvest. So she was like, right, good luck to you. I'm switching off the supplies. Everything's going to wither. So eventually all the people started praying to the gods and Jupiter intervened, spoke to his brother and was like, look, come on. The people need to eat. You need to come to some kind of deal with this woman. And in the end, her daughter, Persephone, was allowed out in the world for 2/3 of the year and she had to go down to the underworld every year for winter, basically. And that's how we get the myth or it's explained mythologically that we have summer and autumn, winter vibes, because every time that Persephone goes back down to the underworld, Demeter, Ceres is grieving, and that's why everything dies and then it all comes back to life. Obviously, that only works in places like, what's the climate called? There's equatorial, and then there's whatever climate we live in that's different to that. So what interesting myth when we've got hostages and negotiation. Yeah? Because Ceres is chief negotiator. She wanted her daughter back, so she was like, look, I'm here, I'm abundant, I preside over the harvest, but you fuck with my daughter and you fuck with me, you're not eating. And that's how she negotiated. So Ceres in your birth chart will tell you something about how you negotiate. And then we have this whole hostage situation, which I said I wasn't going to talk about, but only, it's not that I'm not talking about it, I'm just not. I had some feedback where someone like didn't want to listen to the podcast because they thought I'd been going on about it and they just wanted to have a nice walk. You know, people listen to podcasts when they're out walking and they want to clear their head and, you know, and feel light. You don't want to be in the heavy. Some people do, but, you know, I'm very mindful of that and open to your feedback as well. And being like, yes, this isn't it. I'm not, it's not my job. Anyway, I've covered that before. Boring. So we've got Ceres and Pluto in absolute sextile today, which could be a good aspect, but Mars is there. Mars is god of war, and he is at 28 Scorpio as well. So we've got the fight. We've got, like, it's in Scorpio. So are we negotiating? Or how are we negotiating? Well, violently, Mars. And on a personal level, to bring it back, is it's sexual energy, it's libido, it's your passion and your purpose. How are you using your will to drive your direction? How are you staying focused? How are you eliminating things that you don't need to do? Sorry for that curveball, but the thing I love about astrology, actually, and about astrologers, is how we do just talk about things. You know, you go to astrology school and people talk about these really heavy things in a very rational, matter-of-fact way. When we were on retreat last week, we referred to people as the robots and the Neptunes. And the robots are like straight-up astrologers because, you know, we think in numbers and we are not overly visual. We don't necessarily see things. We're just super detached, very Neptunian and very Uranian, excuse me. And then the Neptunians cry more easily, they're very visual, they see things, they don't like the numbers. And yeah, interesting. And it made me think, I bet the majority of people really who like what I do will be robots, I think. Although the Neptunians were there on retreat, weren't they? So that's not entirely correct. But I wondered about it. I was thinking, I wonder what the majority is. Anyway, Pluto in aspect to Ceres and Mars and the Sun today, because the Sun's at 29, it's separating, but it's still there, is deep. And it's drawing our attention to Pluto, and it's drawing our attention to Scorpio and to death and the taboo and focus, power, regeneration. It's showing us that a phoenix can rise from the ashes, and that lotus flowers are born in swamps, that the beautiful things are born from terrible situations. And how can we do that? How can we behave that way? How can we have conversations? I am thinking more and more about that in polarization. How does that happen? That only happens when conversation stops, does it? Or when the media whip things up. I look at so much, and I shared a lot on stories yesterday. Sorry, getting pen on me probably. And just asking questions, and you read some stuff and think, you know, this was somebody's brother or son or child. And how have we all got like so far away from that? From, you were once a 6-month-old baby and now look, like, what the fuck? But also now look at the things you're achieving. And by achieving, I don't necessarily mean, you know, the job you're doing, I mean, your life, your home, your friends, your family, the communications that you're holding together, the things that you make, the environments that you create, the spaces that you hold, the emotional transformations that you are letting go of by maybe diving straight into them. And that's very much what Today and Tomorrow is about. I think we'll probably get the podcast out tomorrow, some point before the Scorpio season ends. Particularly obviously as well, because the Mars Ceres is Thursday and most people listen straight away. And if you're not, if you're listening to this retrospectively, it's like, bang, you know, what are you diving into personally? And I imagine Thursday will be triggering. Now, the sun moves into Sag. So the sun moving into Sag on Thursday, well, actually tomorrow, the sun will be in Sag. Sag is Sagittarius. And Sagittarius is a very different energy to Scorpio. It's a following sign, and every following sign is completely different to the sign before. So we have all this intense, secretive, power-driven Scorpio. And then we go into Sagittarius and we share and we overshare. And maybe we don't want to overshare too much, because there is a power in holding what you know. And that's very Scorpionic, to like keep things in. So there's a balance as we straddle this. And Pisces, Saturn is in Pisces right now. You might know that. He's been there since March the 7th and he's still at zero. So as soon as the sun enters Sag, he squares Saturn. Computer says no. Or computer says, what are you made of? Because I had an interesting few clients today and I was discussing this. I had two people today and I was talking about Saturn on the moon. And so the moon is your emotions. It's who you are deep down. It's who you were as a baby. And when transiting Saturn or in your birth chart, if Saturn's interacting with the moon, then Saturn says, no, be more responsible, grow up, contain yourself, don't share. You know, the world isn't safe. The world is not secure. Yeah, you are not relaxed. You are uptight and you are on guard and you are monitoring everything and hypervigilant and however you want to call it. So the sun moves into Sag and we have this shift in energy, but immediately it's like, okay, you need to deal with frequency and energy, because I think that's very much what this Saturn in Pisces is about. And in January, I'm putting together a week-long thing. It's being formulated now, because I've been talking about this for a long time. I really want to put this Saturn in Pisces thing together, but now it's happening in January. The understanding of energetics, because I was lying in bed the other day. I started this a minute ago, probably 10 minutes ago. Well, 2020, just as I looked at the clock, people like it. And I did think to myself, I need to take one of my energy protection homeopathic remedies, or I need to go and find an energy healer, because I think this exhaustion stems from something energetic, because I'm fine, really. Like my ear was very, very sore. I'm starting to wonder if I actually physically damaged it by like throwing my head down on the pillow. But I did wake up, have a sore throat. So I think it was some kind of ear, nose, throat throwback. I have to admit, stupidly, I subsequently realized that I was using the earplugs that I'd been using in Brazil. I hope I'd put them in the bin. I surely, it was the same bright orange ones that I'm not used to having. I hope I'm not crazy enough to have kept the ones that I used when I had an ear infection, but I did think, oh no, did you do that? And also it was a month ago, so hopefully I hadn't been that crazy. But anyway, yeah, I have been thinking like the dizziness and the absolute lack of energy. Yes, it could be frequency and I need to do something to regulate that. Yes, I could just be overdoing it and the coffee. Someone had a dream and told me, like, I had a dream and I saw you drinking this milky drink and you said it was coffee and it didn't have any coffee in. And I thought to myself that day, I think I need to quit the coffee. And then my friend messaged saying, I've had a dream, you need to quit the coffee, or that maybe it's the milk. I have been like, okay, fair play. And I think that so last week we had the sun and Mars in Scorpio, that new cycle, and it did amplify something. And it does help you to look at your patterns and your habits and think, is this right? I want to restart. And Mars will flare up. He has flared up and he said, this is a problem. So it could also be that. And look at your own life and think, like, what flared up And we're going to have that again because the Sun and Mars and Ceres are starting a new cycle. They are also meeting at 28 or 29. I'm not sure when the exact conjunction is, but it's definitely at the very end of Scorpio. So I really would find it difficult to come to a delineation of that. But let's say that Mars, the aggressor, starting a new cycle, Ceres, the nurturer and the negotiator and protector, are going to do some very, very intense protection. Very, very intense. Any new intentions about how you want to perhaps protect your boundaries, but also protect your property, and really think about how you activate and care about your environment, the environment and your environment. So the Sun's moving into Sag and it's meeting Saturn, and Saturn square the Sun is a call to grow up, actually. When Saturn squares the Sun, it's like, how are you going to step into this? It's a very interesting day, Thursday. Thursday is Jupiter's day anyway. The first day of, like, Jupiter is ruler of Sagittarius. The Sun's now in Sag, and we have Sun square Saturn and Mars and Ceres exactly at 29. That's a big energy shove. Oh, it's Thanksgiving. Good luck, American friends. It could be really beautiful, but Mars Ceres conjunction with Saturn square the Sun. It'd be a separating aspect by them, but I imagine a fair few family trauma things are going to come out. Just like I said at the beginning of the pod, we are looking at taboo. We are deep in Scorpio, balls deep in Scorp. And so it's like we let things go. And then this year, no one lets anything go. Not everybody will read Ceres. The moon's also in Aries to boot, by the way. Aries is ruled by Mars. I am glad I'm not American. That's all I'll say. I'm glad I don't have to endure that. But also, I take that back, because it can be really healthy to get it off your chest once and for all. And for everybody who does that and manages to say what they mean without regret, without going overboard, which is challenging with the moon in Aries and Mars at the very end of Scorpio. But if you use that scorpionic focus to laser beam and to not to control the force of your words without going overboard, do you know what I mean? Being like super concise, like cracking the whip. And for everybody, whatever you're doing, it's like, how potent are you? Understand your own virility without going over the top. Over the top is a big risk, and people will go over the top, particularly because Neptune is making himself known. Neptune is still in the picture. He's pretty wide, I have to say, but he is sextile Pluto. And those two are in relationship, and Pluto rules Scorpio and Mars is going to be in Scorpio. There is a definite Neptunian drink, drunk, over the top, emotional, crying, drama scene. And you want to be aware of that. Make yourself aware of that. And if other people are in that place, how are you going to manage the situation? Even if everything goes out of control, if people are just behaving, you're just like, this is a shit show, but I still love everyone here and I don't want to burn all the bridges. But maybe you do. Maybe you want to burn a bridge. But think about it, you know, think about it. Because in general, Scorpio likes control. And yes, Scorpio does like burning bridges sometimes, only when they've pushed everyone, when it's gone too far over the edge. But it's really, think about that. Okay, I didn't expect to be saying that, but I kind of did in a loose way, because I think when I'd been looking at the sky, I knew it was intense, but I hadn't thought about the reality of how many families are going to be together. Because, you know, that changes things. So the moon will square Pluto on Friday. Yay. Not yay. But it will move to Taurus, everybody. The moon moves to Taurus on Friday. And it's quite late for us in the UK. It's actually, let's have a little looky. Moon moves to Taurus at about 9 p.m., probably just before 9 p.m. on Friday evening. Woo, chill time. Moon conjunct Jupiter. It's going to look very beautiful in the sky. It will be a nearly full moon because you know, it's like a couple of days before the full moon, which is in Gemini. So I think that's absolute stunner. And Mars moves to Sag. Absolutely lovely. I think it'll be challenging. And then it's like, oh, we're all forgiven. We're all friends again. Unless I'm missing something, which I might be. Because Mars has moved into Sag on Friday evening, therefore squaring Saturn. But Saturn can be useful. Mars is exalted in Capricorn. Mars loves to be in Capricorn. Capricorn is ruled by Saturn. Capricorn is Saturn's sign. So Mars square Saturn is actually very, very challenging. The two malefic planets together, generally not considered to be a good thing. You know, let's not pretend. But still, we've got mutable energy. This isn't fixed energy squaring off. This isn't like a big firm no to another planet. This is two planets that are mutable signs are reasonable. They are moving. They are flexible. They flex in and out. And they might, you know, they give you an essay deadline extension. It's like, it moves. The deadline moves with Mars and Saturn. So we'll see what happens. But it could be like a new boundary. Think of it like that. A new boundary that you navigate after having confronted what needs to be confronted. I'm very curious. Very, very curious to see how that plays out Thursday, Friday. Very, very curious. In fact, I hope I remember next week to go over it and talk about it. And maybe get people's feedback or maybe even do a live pod. I've got this new pod software. I'm really into it. Heidi's into it too. She emailed me earlier being like, it's great. So much better for editing. So yeah, I'd love to do something interactive. Anyway, the Cosmic Club now are invited to my podcast interviews. So they watch live. Jo was watching today, leaving her heart as she always does. And then they can ask questions, which is great as well, because it helps me. And also when I forgot what I say, they'll be able to help me, which is also great. But in interviews, that won't happen. Maybe I should do it for these ones when I'm like, you don't hear because Heidi edits it out. But like already three times today, I've had to stop for a good minute and replay everything in my head until I remembered what I was saying. Oh, certain times of the month, man, I have a week of just, wow, what on earth? Which I tell you all the time, but still, every time it lands, I'm like, are you joking? So, Friday, Moon conjunct Jupiter, I just look at it and I just think, lovely, lovely. Also, this is my stuff, isn't it? Sun in Sag, Moon in Taurus. So I'm happy with that. Moon conjunct Jupiter. I'm very happy with that. Mars conjunct the Sun. Hopefully I'll get my bloody energy back. Hopefully we all will. I'll be like gung ho by the weekend. Maybe. Maybe not. I'll let you know. Ceres is still at 29, FYI. Ceres doesn't move to Sag until... Oh, bloody hell. She really stays there. Oh, my God. November 25th. She finally moves. So that's next. Oh, I was doing it by the hour. Sorry. So Saturday. Not that far away. That's nice then. So Saturday, 5 in the morning in the UK. We then have Ceres, Mars, Sun and Mercury all in Sag. The moon tightly conjunct Jupiter. Lovely. Big, big fan of that. Big fan of Saturday. Optimism, change of scene, change of pace, change of energy. Yes, we've got two planets square to Saturn. No, that doesn't have to be the end of the world. Yes, it will be for some people. If it's your Saturn return, if you've got planets at zero, Pisces, Sag, Gemini, or the other one, Virgo, then, you know, you might really be activated. But 0 degrees has its own behavior. And last time I was teaching Learn to Read Your Birth Chart, I did cover this in as much as if this was planet square, like Sun square Saturn at 4 degrees of Sag and Pisces, it's different to having it at zero. There's something about zero where people are exemplary. You know, first day at school, first day primary school, first day senior school, you've not lost any of your shit. You've not ruined any of your books. Your shoes aren't scuffed. Your notebooks are empty and clear. And there's this kind of, the first day at school is very different to every other day at school. You know, September the 6th is very different to March the 10th, where it's just like, oh, fuck, late for school. And some people's first day will be a disaster, but there's something very potent about 0 degrees of the signs where malefic things don't, or negative manifestations don't manifest so obviously. That's what I see. That's my observation. Okay. That would be a nice little clip. Educational. Okay. What am I saying? So I'm here for the weekend. I've got it on hour. I don't want it on hour. Then we've got Moon Uranus on Sunday, more unexpected. Maybe a little trip somewhere. Maybe I'll go to the States. My friends are in Nashville for my friend's 40th, and I've not gone. I wanted to go, but it took me so long to get over the bloody jet lag last time. And also, there's been so much work to do. It's been insane. So I've not gone. So maybe that's the Saturn aspect for me. It's like, wah, my friends are away and I'm here. We'll see. But I found frequently with the Moon Uranus, people do unexpected things. You'll still see a lot of people online being like, yeah, Moon in Taurus, luxuriate, have a massage. It's like, it's conjunct Uranus, knobhead. You can't. It's basically Aquarius Moon. It's no longer Taurus. The flavor's been changed. The drink's been spiked, okay? And then we have the full moon on Luna D, Monday. So we have Sun and Mars together, opposite the moon, all square to Saturn. Now, when I wrote this in cycles, I picked, I think, the Nine of Swords tarot card to go with it. And I was looking at events to do, and I was just like, you know, all people need on Monday is to get out their head, is to meditate, is to deal with the anxiety of that. It's anxious. It feels anxious. It makes my heart squeeze just looking at it. Sun and Mars opposite the moon in Gemini, because Gemini moon's nuts anyway. Like questions, thinking. It's always this time of year. People are always like, whoa, I'm spinning far too many plates. I hope I overwhelmed myself last week and that now I'm like behaving. So that this could be really good, really networky, really fun, the manifestation of connections and things happening. You know, Saturn is still at zero. And I've just said planets at zero sometimes manifest more beautifully. That it could just be that Gemini connection is very stimulated and stimulating by Mars and the Sun. And that kind of opposition, the full moon peaks, the volcano is reached in Saturn, because that's what it is. It's a T-squared, the two planets opposite one another, and then Saturn at the peak. And that apex says, yes, you've learned well. And it's about understanding what Saturn in Pisces means for you. Dun, dun, dun. Not going to teach everything right now. Need to say some stuff for elsewhere. But I think that is that. And then on Tuesday, what we got? What is Saturn in Pisces for you? Have a read. What does it mean to you? What is Saturn? Which house is Saturn in Pisces in? If you have questions, let me know. You know, maybe you're trying to reflect on that and you're not able to. Let me know if you want help with that, because it helped me understand how to be useful. My event, Saturn on Solid Ground, is on sale on my website for Black Friday. And it is, I mean, I haven't watched it for a while, so maybe I don't like it anymore, but I did think it was great when I first did it. We have Venus in conjunct Uranus at some point over the weekend, I must say as well, which can be a kind of spicy surprise. Venus is in conjunct Uranus on Sunday whilst the moon is in Taurus, which only emphasizes what I said. It's just not, it's a bit more spicy. People, movements, there might be just unexpected surprises. Tuesday, moon in Gemini, Venus in Libra, trine, lovely. And moon square Neptune can be okay, but a bit oversensitive. So yeah, very, very chatty day on Tuesday. And then the moon enters Cancer. People want, I don't know what, they want to go home. Maybe you're a bit homesick. Maybe you're missing. Maybe you're very wistful, especially if you're American. You look back and you think, I loved last week. I love my family, even though they drive me mad. Or you see your mates. Very nice time to see your mates, November 30th, I think. But that's next Thursday, and I'll have done another pod by then. I'll focus on that more then. So thank you, everybody, for listening. I hope that helps and that you have a picture of the rundown. And I hope I've not brainwashed you into believing everything that I say. Try and forget it and then just let it flow. I mean, that's what I do. And then I'll be like, oh, that's interesting. I don't want it to dominate. I like to see how it plays out instead of, you know. But I will work with this a little bit. But it's interesting to just kind of suddenly remember and be like, oh yeah, that's what the astrology says at the minute. So thank you for listening. And we've got lots of interviews coming up and they will be out, and there'll be some reading offers. I haven't worked out exactly what I'm going to do for Black Friday yet, I'll be honest. I haven't got a clear picture, and I realise it's in 2 days, but I've got a vague enough idea. And it'll be lovely to see you soon. The Psychic Night Winter Solstice is available, and so is a yoga event with Katie. These are both via my website. I am not sure about doing this retreat in January. I think I will just do a day retreat until I've got overwhelming demand. I've got demand now. There's like 20 people who are like, yes, I want to do it. But they won't all do it because that's the nature of it. That I need to be completely oversubscribed because I don't want to put on a retreat and then be selling it. So, and it's extremely time consuming, planning it, doing it, getting back from it, being tired because you've done it. So I just don't have time for that. But I will do a day retreat because it'd be great to get everyone in and just go like, right, we're going to workshop some charts and do this and that. So we shall do that, I hope. And but again, people always say they want in real life stuff, and then getting them to actually come is another thing. But maybe that's a mental block. We shall see. Anyway, we will be getting people together before I leave London again. And I'll always be popping back to London. And please make sure you are subscribed to the website, newsletter, Instagram. And if you would share this with a friend, that would be really, really lovely. And see you soon. You have been listening to the Astrology Oddcast with me, Francesca Oddi. We have looked at week commencing the 21st. Yeah, I mean, we did look at today, 21st of November, for 7 days-ish. Kind of looked at Thursday as well. Thank you for listening, and see you next time.